You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
Today on our show, I'm talking with Lania Sproles. She's talking to me from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Lania, thanks so much for being with me today.
Thanks so much for inviting me on the show. I really appreciate it.
So, Lania, let's talk about what you're working on now. What's happening in your studio at the moment?
At the moment, I'm exploring quite a different range of things right now. Right now, I've been developing some drawings. In the past, I've been working on very large cutout collage work, and I'm approaching my drawings very similarly, where I'm piecing together different aspects. And I'm really focusing on developing in the way we view the black female body and just the black femmes in our society, and trying to pair that synonymously with my own experience of being a black woman, and also creating these paradiso-like worlds. So it's becoming kind of fantastical investigation, using different materials than what I'm really used to or what I've been kind of coached through college. So it's been really exciting. I'm just trying a bunch of new things right now.
That is exciting. So let's talk a little bit about some of the content and issues, because it sounds like there's a specific narrative that's running through a lot of this. You're talking about not just the black body, but a woman's body and your own experience. And, you know, from what I've read and know about you and your work, growing up in Milwaukee was a segregated experience, as you've described it, right? Is that by neighborhood, or I mean, to begin there with your experience, what was happening in terms of how you were growing up? Do you mean segregated in that sense, by neighborhood, by in terms of bodies, or in what sense?
I feel like the term segregation could be used very in the term where you're saying segregated by bodies and segregated by neighborhoods. I grew up on the north side, so the north side of Milwaukee is predominantly black neighborhoods. So Milwaukee is divided between neighborhoods. You know where different races live, and you would know that living and growing up in Milwaukee. That's just kind of a normal thing for anyone that lives there. And being a person that's from the north side, I went to a predominantly white school most of my life. So I had, I was going in between very different political climates, racial climates, in and out my life. And I feel throughout my entire life, I feel Milwaukee segregation, you can feel it on very different levels, even in a classroom. Like I said, you know where everyone is depending on their race in the city. And I did feel an outcast in between those two different climates while growing up and going to school.
And when you went to, you were making art all along, I imagine, when you went to do that on a university level, what was happening then? Because that's when you began to bring in the conversation that you're involved in now. Is that correct? Am I getting that kind of trajectory right? You mentioned that a little bit at the beginning.
Yeah, I think going to college, I was trying to figure out, obviously everyone's trying to figure out what they're really invested in. And I think that was just something that was natural to me, trying to talk about the traumas that are embedded in my experiences, not only with just going in and out of different racial climates throughout my life, but also coming to terms with my queerhood and my femininity and things like that. So I feel it was towards my college years, I kind of became a big salad mix of all those different things, and where my interest started to go.
So that's exciting, right? That was an exciting point, and it's something that college can do. And I think it's important to talk about this, because it sounds like it's also the kind of beginning of how you're approaching art, because that's both kind of academic ideas you're talking about and aesthetic ideas, but also it takes a lot of bravery to do that, to kind of examine those issues. So I mean, starting from that point, is there some early work that you've made that we can talk, maybe it was in college or afterwards, that kind of allowed you to possess that power, to have that bravery that was also received well? Because that seems to me, I don't know if it was for you, but that would seem to me kind of a pivotal point in your art making.
Yeah.
And what allowed you to continue to do the work you're doing now.
I think at some point in college I was becoming unproductive. And I did this domestic exchange program while I was at MIAD. And that really allowed me to kind of defend my work in front of people that I wasn't really familiar with, which was a great challenge. But it also, I think during that time, it was kind of like revolutionary to me, because I think I really started to realize that the only way I was going to be able to talk about these serious things is if I, you know, investigated within. And that's just like, I feel like that's just like a lesson you learn as you grow up. Like, you just have to be honest with yourself and like analyze the things that you've gone through. And that was the only way I felt like I was going to be able to really stay true to myself and be able to make work that felt good and felt right. That's what was most important to me, is making work that feels right and is honest. So I think that's kind of where I feel like that stroke of bravery came through, is realizing what was important, which was the truth, and finding ways to communicate that was going to be, was going to change. I feel like I learned that, like, as you get older, like, your practice changes. And, like, even my practice is changing right now, post-college, and I'm just kind of riding the wave, but being honest and showing up for the people that I'm talking about, and, like, even my own traumas, is what's really important.
And so how did your own, maybe we can talk about works of art or first pieces or recent pieces that incorporate your own trauma with a whole sphere of thinking that mm-hmm. we're discussing. Was there a piece in particular that touched on that in a specific way?
So about the end of last year, towards the end of last year, I did a series of like drawings. It was like the first attempt of doing drawings instead of doing like large cutout works. And that entire series, I felt like I could pour my whole entire heart into it. And there was a piece called Sore Losers. I think about this piece all the time. And the entire series were different characters or variations of Black femmes or Black women existing in these kind of a fantastical spaces. And Sore Losers was honestly, it was inspired by the incident between Serena Williams and when she was called out for being a cheater and pretty much was called a cheater. And I was just thinking about, and for some reason that moment in pop culture, another thing, I feel like pop culture has become very influential in my work recently. But that moment in pop culture, I feel like, I think it was the first time I felt really bad for a celebrity, which was very odd. And also, like, I felt compelled to make work about reasons why Black women are always going to be the sore losers. And it was also, like, about this neighbor that I lived across the street from in my childhood home who we really kind of looked down upon. It was really funny because we were all poor. So it was really strange that we saw her as this outcast or this outsider. And it was really important to me to think about the many ways that we let Black women down and the many ways that we were always going to be seen as these sore losers. So I was trying to figure out different ways in which I could connect to things that are happening in our society. And even to a celebrity, it was still heartbreaking to see that this woman who had worked so hard for years and years and years get something taken away from her because of who she is. And it, to me at that moment, I feel like, oh, it doesn't really matter. We're always going to be penalized for who we are. It doesn't really matter.
And so what's the cultural reference you're thinking of then? Is that something specific?
No. But the term sore losers? Or?
Not the term sore losers, but I mean that idea I'm understanding, but also through the lens of like a celebrity not getting their due, a black woman, because of that idea or that perception, you know, in terms of having a kind of cultural example of it. Is there an example like that you were thinking of? I mean, what I began thinking of was Beyonce and,
mm-hmm.
and, I don't know if that's
that's a perfect example.
Possible to
like,
call that, but like Lemonade and the whole thing of like why wasn't that like monstrously huge and
mm-hmm.
Yeah. But so go on. Is that an example? Yeah. And if so, yeah. Please.
I think I think those are great examples. And another example outside of Beyonce, I was thinking of is just recently, and this has nothing to do with. Much more or less of like femininity, but actually just racism too. But the rapper Lil Nas, and he is being penalized and like pretty much called a cultural appropriator because he made a country song, and no one wants to own up and call it a country song because he's black. His song was Billy Ray Cyrus' "Old Town Road," and like things like that come to mind. And it happens every day. Like, it happens in my own life, too, like, where I'm being constantly led down by the people around me, and they have no idea in the many ways that I'm being let down. But sometimes I try to, like, reveal and conceal my work. I try not to be very specific about some of the, like, things that I go through for many reasons, but also... I also use, like, other people's experiences and, like, characters to kind of mask what I go through and also, like, draw that synonymous connection and point out the examples that we see in pop culture and see, like, this happens to me, too, even though this person is a celebrity. But
right. And with Beyoncé, what do you think was happening there? Why is that example? I mean, the example you just gave was also great.
Mm-hmm.
That was of course a man though, but with Beyonce,
right.
Also the in terms of the sore loser, it's mm-hmm. also about being a woman, a black woman. Right?
I think sometimes with Beyonce, people forget that she is black. It's because Beyonce is kind of like the supernatural being in so many people's eyes. Like we really put her identity on a pedestal, and she's almost kind of like not human. Like that's how celebrities are viewed in general. And I think sometimes with that kind of persona, people forget that, oh my God, like this person is in a marginalized group or she's a part of this group of people. And I think a lot of times when, because I do listen to Beyonce too, a lot of times when I see critiques on Beyonce, like it's usually in terms of that and like figuring out, why she deserves those certain things or why she deserves those certain attention. And yeah.
And so let's talk about the how some of these things are coming into the work now, the, mm-hmm. the work that you're doing, you're moving in different directions. So can you talk about what you're making in the studio now in terms of maybe imagery and medium and how
mm-hmm.
that's coming together?
So right now I've been looking at a lot of paintings, nothing in particular. I've just been kind of like bopping around, looking at different types of like portraits through mirrors. And I feel like I said earlier, like a lot of my work is very synonymous with what I'm going through. And I feel like this is just a time period for me where I'm like doing a lot of introspection and reflection, being 24. And right now working on developing some drawings where there'll be a lot of women or femmes like looking at themselves in the mirror and from different viewpoints, and a lot of it is kind of inspired by, like I said, pop culture. So sometimes even memes and like just different, just like funny things. I try to bring in my sense of humor, and I'm trying to do that a lot more now, because art is supposed to be fun, and also things in pop culture are hilarious. So
tell me about it. What are some of the memes and things you're bringing in? Well, you know, humor is also disarming because the issues mm-hmm. you're talking about aren't easy to manage for a lot of people, especially if you're white and trying to understand. If you're a white woman or a white man or a black man or not having mm-hmm. a queer experience, it's often not easy to access, you know,
right.
what someone's trying to say. So, yeah, humor is a great form. So tell me about some of the memes or other content you're bringing in.
Memes are just a way that I can communicate with the people that I love and just my friends in general, and I think they're very easy to access for anybody. And I think bringing that sense of humor into my work is going to be important for people who are white and people who might not feel comfortable talking about these things because of their guilt for some reason. First of all, it's important to talk about. And second of all, I also think that the memes that I've been looking at, they don't really technically have any, like, titles or anything. It's just, like, the way the composition is set up in the meme is sometimes mm-hmm. funny. And particularly the one I'm talking about now, it's like a little girl looking into a mirror, applying lipstick, but her reflection is looking directly at the viewer. And I'm thinking about the different ways that we also like perceive black women, of course, but trying to play with like who's present in these moments of in these moments of when we need.
I mean, in talking about the meme, the little girl looking in the mirror mm-hmm. trying to put on makeup and she's actually looking at the viewer, that's something that's also reflecting your experience and the experience that you're trying to communicate. Is that correct?
Yes, totally, definitely.
So maybe talk more about how will that be incorporated in the that kind of imagery is what you're incorporating in these.
Yeah, so I'm just really inspired by the composition. So I'm trying to tie in like not so much of my sense of humor super directly, but like using that as a leverage to help me figure out compositions and also like figure out different ways of communicating what I feel. So I think as a person like growing up in a pretty segregated city and just like living, bouncing between different climates in general, I've had to use a lot of humor growing up
right.
and just to protect myself. I remember growing up and being like expected to be this sort of almost kind of like a minstrel, like a character, like an entertainer right. to a lot of my white students and like white peers growing up. And not really knowing that when I went home, I was going home very depressed. And like even some of my peers that I see now from my past, they like don't even recognize me and who I am because I think that they had this idea of who I was. And I'm like trying to think of different ways that I can incorporate my past into these pieces without being super direct.
And is there anything else before I ask you the last question? Do you want to say about any kind of upcoming shows? There'll be links in here to your work, of course, and your website. Is there anything else you want to plug to the audience interested in knowing more?
I have a show. I'll be in a group show this summer at Milwaukee Institute of Art and Design. The show opens, let me check, I believe it's June. It is actually June 19th.
June 19th. Okay, so let me ask you, we'll put a link to that in here as well. What are you reading at the moment?
Right now I'm reading Their Eyes Are Watching God. I'm reading it on and off because I've been really busy. And I've become really interested in these old feminist like books. And one book in particular that I really fell in love with, it was by Octavia Butler called Kindred. I love that book. I always like reread it over and over. And there's just something really powerful about the scientific, like it was the first scientific black novel written by a woman. And there's something about that book that just draws me in. It talks about the way it talks about like femininity and whiteness and like how those two structures work together and like how it worked together in different time periods because the main character time travels. So those are two things that I'm reading right now. So I'm always reading Kindred by Octavia Butler and Their Eyes Were Watching God, Dora Neale Hurston. So I've been taking a little bit of notes here and there.
Linnea, thanks so much for talking with me today. It's been wonderful to talk with you.
Thank you.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.